You might like to open your Bible to the book of Numbers and chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. And in our seeking to get understanding in the light of the day in which we live, we have gone through a little bit of the book of Jeremiah, and we are in chapter 48 of Jeremiah. And it's all about Moab. It's a lengthy chapter about Moab. Moab is rather special. It's different than Ammon and different ones, and we'll look at that. But God gives a lengthy, comparatively, analysis of the defeat of Moab. So, and we shared together last time, Moab is a perpetual enemy of Israel. And they're determined. And that is illustrated in Numbers in 22, et cetera, 3 and 4. It is illustrated in Balak, the king of the Moabites. And the Moabites, king was determined, to say the least, to get Balaam, the prophet, to curse Israel. And no matter how he wangled and tried to do everything, Balaam could not curse Israel. And we shared together that what? God had determined to bless Israel. And what God determines to bless, no one in forever can change it. If God decides to curse, no one's going to change that either. So, and thus Moab being determined that, and we shared together, so we caught the gist of it, because we wanted to see that. And a little further, over to chapter 23. And going, if I can, in the light of it, 23 and verse 8. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Said Balaam. How shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and there shall not be reckoned, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. And we remember now Exodus chapter 19. Israel is chosen to be the special nation. So God hears all the nations, and God took them out, the special. They can never be included in this. They're out of it for God to glorify himself in the kingdom coming up, that's for sure. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over if I can, verse 23:18. And he took up this parable and said, arise up, Balak, king of Moab, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Verse 20, behold, I have received the commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I cannot change it. The prophets say, I can't do anything except echo and herald what God says. And if God chooses to bless, there's no one in forever that can change it. And we share together the problem. Curse Israel, I should say, for Balak. Since you can't curse him, then what's the use of you, Balaam? You aren't much of a prophet. You can't do what we want. So therefore, Balak and Bat, and Balaam quits doing that. And Balak says, but he does say to Balak, he does say in chapter 24, verse 13, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. Verse 14, and now, behold, I go unto my people. In other words, I'm going home, said Balaam. We're all done. I'm going home. I quit. But, he said to Balak, the king of Moab, I'll tell you what you could do, though. God can't do it, but I'm going to tell you how to get them. And verse 14, and now behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee. In other words, I'm going to warn you what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. Sliding down over, if I can, in chapter 24. Sliding over, if I can, at the end, picking up in verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. In other words, the Lord's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. In other words, Moab is 800 years earlier than chapter 48, look, approximately 800 years. And God's going to judge that nation. God's going to judge him, sliding down. What are you going to tell him, Balak? You can't tell him, kind of, God isn't going to tell it, but you're going to tell him. And thus, 24, verse 25, and Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place. And Balak also went his way. Now, you don't know what's said yet, but hang on. And the result, whatever Balaam told them, it loused up Israel and they lost the blessing. Now, remember we shared last time together. The only person that can louse up your life is you. No one, anywhere, not even the devil, can louse up your life or your own life. You are going to be the problem for your problems. And you know that. You know that. Here's the physical body, and you live inside your body. Your body was made to protect you in this world of death and disease. And your system works. But when you inside get stressed, distressed, get all up in here, then your body has to fight this way, and then it has to fight this way. And the body wasn't made to fight both ways. That stresses the body, and thus all the letters years ago we did to Mayo Clinic and all them. 85% or more of all physical problems are from your mind. Start with your mind. Start with your thinking. Stress. Now, so God, we know, we spent it. Boy, we could hammer it home in our little head. God. I'm the only guy that can louse up and lose the blessing. You have given us a wonderful blessing in Christ. And that blessing is to be found in Christ, Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It never goes away. The only way I'll louse it up is when I do it. And thus, what did you say? Chapter 25. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they call, verse 2, the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. Here's Israel, wrong direction, in the wrong way. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor idols. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Now, Israel, what did you tell Israel? You go and get yourself involved in the world system and leave God back here, and you put the world system up front, idolatry. Now, that's what we got. And once you do that, your blessing's gone. You just gave it away. And Israel gave it away lots. Now, putting that together, over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Picking up, please, if I can. This is to the church in Pergamos, verse 12. And sliding down in that whole thing for just time's sake and everything, verse 14. God, what was, in your analysis, a diagnostic analysis of the church in Pergamos, verse 14. I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. We wouldn't have known this if God didn't put it in. You have the doctrine of Balaam. Well, what did Balaam tell Balak? Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication? He got them to do what they shouldn't have done. They got into idolatry. That's what they get into. Now, you'll say, well, I won't get into idolatry. Over, if you would, please, or in your Bible, over to Galatians. And in Galatians chapter 2, picking up, if I can, chapter 5 in this case, chapter 5, verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh, our old sin nature that we have, are manifest, made clear, they're obvious. What are these? What's so obvious? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and then verse 20, idolatry. Where is idolatry? You house it. So it's not going to be an idolatry. You already are. It's part of your old nature. Your old nature will never serve God. You have to get saved. And how do you handle your old nature? Reckon yourself what? Dead. Don't debate it. Don't discuss it. Count it dead. Because you can never, it'll never serve God. Idolatry. Now, you can see then, it's so easy to get into idolatry. Is to have everything and anything be substituting for solutions, and we lose God in the process. That doesn't mean you don't take your medicine and stuff. It means you're trusting God, and you take your medicine, trusting God to use the medicine if he wants to, whatever. But you're trusting God always first. You never leave that foundation. You never leave that. Now, so having said that, idolatry, etc., witchcraft and all of it, all of these things, verse 21, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have always also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, I'm not going to get in. Well, I don't do it. And remember, where does, you want to see that in the light of the Old Testament, idolatry. Where does all idols and stuff come from? We've done it many times, but do it again, just to tie it. Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel in chapter 14, and you'll remember, all religion and all idols and everything that is any kind of anything that's against God, that leaves God out, idolatry, our old nature, where does it all come from? A Buddha didn't come out of the sky. Buddha and Confucius, pantheism, and all Mormonism, you line them all up. They got them. Ezekiel 14, remember, verse 3, context. Son of man, these men have set up their idols where? In their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. In other words, I think it, and then I build my totem pole. I do what I do, and then I make my system work and show it so you can see it and worship it, whatever. Now, the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face, should I be inquired of at all by them? Verse 4. Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in, underline, in his heart, and putteth, he then goes and makes something to symbolize his, what he's thinking, to worship, a totem pole or something, that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face so he can see it, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of their idols, etc., without taking it any more time down to verse 7, etc. You see it. Idolatry. Say, don't do it. Yeah, we all do. We just have to overcome it. God saves us from idolatry. He takes and crucifies and pays the penalty and takes our old nature, our sin nature, and nails it to the cross. He paid the penalty. What do you mean he paid the penalty? From the day you were born, every thought, word, and deed, till the day you die. He paid for every lousy thought you could have all the days of your life. Christ has already died and paid for what you're going to do tomorrow. He's already died for it. And the next week, that's why you're saved. He died for all of it. He crucified you in totality. Everything about you. He finished it. He doesn't want to discuss it, play with it. He's done with it. And I need to practice that. So what? I don't lose the blessing. I'm going to lose the blessing if I'm not careful. So therefore, in the light of that, over if I can, over to in keeping that in mind, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, I don't want to lose. And I'm the only one that can do it. And I don't want to say to myself, well, I'll never do that. I don't feel that way. No, that's the trouble with Moab. Moab was very special in the sense of Ammon and Edom, each one, but not Moab. Moab got attacked like other people, but you know, they never changed. They had Chemosh, their god, and the enemy would come in, Assyria would come in and take over, they have the Assyrian god and the Assyrian flag. And the people in Moab would just put up their Assyrian flag But they still thought the same. Didn't have to change anything. They thought the same. Let them come and go. And they never. So each nation, when a nation come in and took, they took the gods of that nation and changed the nation. But you never did that to Moab. You never changed those guys. They just came in and out, and they waited till you wanted to leave. And you leave, and they put the Chemosh back up. And they're the same. They never had to fix anything. Other nations had to change with each time someone conquered them. But they didn't do it. They just stayed the same. That's what they did. They were stubborn. They kept it. They said, we're protected. We people think like that sometimes. You know, no matter what anyone says, I think this. And all the different things come and go. And you what? You still think thus. Whether it's right or wrong, you still think it anyway. You see, that's what they did. That's what they did. Didn't change a thing. So, God deals with them in a special way to get them to get straightened up. You'll see. So, now, back over if I can. Over to Ezekiel. I mean, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, if I can, picking up, please, in the process. Here's Jeremiah chapter 48. Now, we aren't going to do everything. I'm just going to give you a little thought or two for just the first part for this point, at this point. And at chapter 48 and verse 1. Against Moab and and thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, woe unto Nebo, all of these are cities, and for it is spoiled. Kiriath-Athim is confounded and taken. Misgab is confounded and displayed. There shall be no more praise of Moab, of Heshbon. They have devised evil against it. Come, let us cut it off from being a nation. Also, thou shalt be cut off. O madman, that means to be silenced, to be silenced, to be put to silence. O madman, the sword shall pursue thee. In other words, the sword isn't going to go away. You're going to hope it goes away, like other times. But this time, it's not going to go away. It's not going to go away. You aren't going to get away with it anymore. And thus it Moab. So, sliding down, a voice crying, and they're going to be crying, spoiling and great destruction. Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused a cry to be heard. For in the going up of continually weeping shall go up. For in the going down of Horonaim, the enemies have heard a cry of destruction. Now, everything's going to go, all the cities. Verse 6, save yourselves, and be like the heath in the wilderness. In other words, hope you can get away as fast as you can. You're just all going to be dried up. You're not going to have any strength. You're going to be nothing. Next verse. Flee for your lives and be like the heath in the wilderness. Verse 7. Because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasures, for thou shalt also be taken. And Chemosh, that's their god. And when Nebuchadnezzar is coming down, remember the whole problem for all of these nations is they would not honor Nebuchadnezzar being in God, put him in the top of the pile, and he said every nation is to honor them. They did not. They did like Israel. They didn't honor him. And so they're all going to get clipped. All going to get clipped. Now, so therefore, Chemosh, and when you take a country, you take their gods. Well, up to this time, no one took Chemosh, but Chemosh, their god, was useless. shall go forth into captivity, and his priest and his princes together. Then the spoiler shall come upon every city, and no city shall escape the valley. Also shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed, as the Lord has spoken. Give wings unto Moab, verse 9, that he may flee and get away, for the cities thereof shall be destroyed without any to dwell therein. I'm going to level the place. Now, so what you're doing, and so he's saying, run, try to find a hiding place, be like a bird, and try to fly away somewhere. You won't be able to do it. You won't be able to do it. Try it. You're going to try. Verse 10, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, laxly, with no discipline, being lax, lazy. In other words, don't be lazy about your assignment, Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to go in, and you do it, and finish it. You see it, verse 10. And cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Don't you dare let up. You take every city and everything and destroy it. And don't you put your sword away. You keep that sword bloody. You do it. And that's God telling him, you keep doing this. Well, that's what I want. And that's what they did. So having said that little bit and keeping that, if I can, in mind, God helping us. So having done that, now you got that little bit and you got the blessing. So, and in the process, God, we're trying to get this. There's three different things we'll do in chapter 48. Here's one of them, blessing. God meant your heart to be blessed. God is the blesser, and God is the blessing. God is the blesser, and God is the blessing. And God wants to be God in our heart, not the gods of Chemosh or anyone else. No idolatry. Now, having said that, exercise it for us. Because I'm not Moab. Moab's over there on the other side of the Dead Sea, on the south east. It's east of us and south of the Dead Sea. There it is, over there. I'm not there. Now, over to, if I can, Revelation. Here's all these nations. And they're going to get it, especially in chapter 49. Just list them. Boom, 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 boom. Tells them. Going to get all of them. Now, so when we come to Revelation, what's that about? Revelation is the book of termination. It's the conclusion. God started things. God started the program in Genesis. He brings it to an end in Revelation. And Revelation is going to put the thing in order. And thus, you have the judgment of all the nations of the earth. Now, that's a hard time. Now, God, that word's coming up inch by inch, it'll be there. Now, so Revelation chapter 1, as we go through the book, what do we have? Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. It's now, like the last hour kind of time in 1 John and Sunday in morning worship. Now, it's now. And therefore, go to the other, all the way to the end. That's the beginning. And then you got to read all about the judgments. Go to chapter 22 when you come to the end. When you come to the end, picking up, if I may, in verse 7, blessed, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. You're going to honor the book. God's going to honor his word. Verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. Blessed and cursed be they, verse 18 and 19, if you go and add or subtract. Don't add or subtract. That's why we said it on Sunday. You follow the recipe as the recipe is written. You don't go and read, if you want to add something or not, then you're changing the recipe. So you don't want to change. We don't need to add 25,000 things. We just need to read John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, etc. Leave it. Thank you. God gave his son to save us. Got it. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, God's going to bless. He's telling you. What are you saying in the light of Jeremiah's day? God is doing what he's doing. And remember, Jeremiah dies in Egypt. So does Baruch. Assume he dies in Egypt. They don't have anything. They just die. And Egypt is going to go and get clobbered. Egypt and Israel are going to get clobbered in Egypt, as we share together. Now, so God, what are we doing? We aren't going to fix anything. But we are to, blessed are you that read and understand. So we're trying to understand. God, we don't want to lose the blessing because of the system we live in and under. We don't want to lose the blessing. We want to lose it. God, I want the blessing on my life. But I can't, I don't want to get sidetracked. I don't want to lose it. Now, so therefore, over if I can, if you would, over to Romans. In Romans chapter 4. And you would recall, in Romans chapter 4, God, when we receive the Lord as our Savior, God does a wonderful thing. We look to God by faith, and God counts our faith as righteousness. Therefore, verse 5, to him, chapter 4, verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, that's a wonderful thing. And to be saved, to have God give to you righteousness, wonderful, wonderful righteousness, his righteousness, the breastplate, like in the evening of Sunday, breastplate of righteousness, to give you his righteousness. So when you look, God looks, he sees his son, sees right, in all the wrong in my old nature, but God crucified that. He isn't going to count on that. He's counting on Christ in me to make me, keep me right. And that's what I'm supposed to be counting on, so that I enjoy a right journey in a wrong world. Now, so here's chapter, having said that, and then you're going to give an illustration, verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Verse 9, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, not just the Jew, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Now David, God said, don't you want to be blessed like David? Then you get saved. And when you get saved, God blesses you. And he gives you encouragement, like David, like David. Okay, over if you would, over Deuteronomy, chapter 28. And you remember it, but tying it all A, B, C together. Chapter 28. And you will remember in the blessing, all the blessing in chapter 28, verses 1 through 15, and going verse 2, 28, 2. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And overtaking like a lion, checking a lion going after an antelope. I'm going to pursue. What's going to pursue me? The blessing. And you remember in chapter 27, you got the cursing. You read each curse, you read each thing, and curse it, you're cursed. Cursed be it, if I, cursed, if we do it, cursed be it. But when you come to the blessing, there's no amen. There's no amen. Why? Why is there no amen? Because the blessing, you'll never get away from it. It's going to hunt you down. As you look to God, God's going to chase you with his blessing. God wants you to be blessed. God is honored. The Blessed One wants to bless you. It's his will to do so. So, having said that, therefore, verse 2, the place of us, these blessings shall overtake thee, and overtake thee, sliding down to verse 6, because, because blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. So here's all the listing, and whether you go in the house or out of the house, go to work, go to school, you go in, you go out, do all of those things, doesn't matter what you do. You're going to be blessed when you're outside and blessed when you're inside. Blessed when you're sleeping, blessed when you're awake. God's what? Going to be doing being your God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, and you know without turning there, over to Samuel 18 and all that. David, what about David? David was one of those dear fellows that God blessed him. And the people knew it. The people knew it. And the people, they didn't like him in one sense, but they knew what? God was with him when he went in, and God was with him when he went out. David was a blessed man. And so you be careful before you dump him, because he's the blessing. He brings blessing in, he brings blessing out. Therefore, boy, we don't want to lose him. In that sense. Now, having said that, and then you can do that, looking at 1 Samuel, Psalm, etc. Now, over if I can, to put that together a little bit. Over if I can, over to Psalm 1:1. Now, God, remember Romans 4, verse 5, God is telling you, the righteous, if you're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith, and God is going to count it for righteousness. That's a blessed condition, a blessed relationship. Now, and David is given as an illustration of a blessed man. Blessed man. Wow. Now, so therefore, I'm interested again in David. And in David, if I can, in chapter 1, Psalm 1. Very first verse, 1:1, Psalm 1. Blessed, this is David. David, I just want to show you. David was blessed. Think of all the Psalms. Think of everything he did. Wow. Yeah. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything. So, Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And you can keep reading. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, etc. Wow. David. God says, let me give you an illustration. God said, David is a blessed man, and let me show you. You're going to trust me, you'll be a blessed heart, man, woman, boy, or girl. Over, in closing, over to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. David again. Just to show you. David. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he to go straight. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. A blessed, 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 blessed. I acknowledge my sin. That's what he did. I got an old nature, said David. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I didn't ask for forgiveness. I just told him I'm a sinner. That's what you are. Christ provided the forgiveness already. All he could do was say, I have a sin. I didn't, would you please forgive me? No, you won't. God already did that. So, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. We already did it. So thank you, God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we do. I don't have to fool with it. I just have to practice what he told me to do, to handle the dumb thing. So I don't have to beat myself to death, whatever. I don't have to do that. Now, so one other thing in closing, and close with it. You know, it's a lovely, lovely, lovely section. Verse 7. For thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me and me from trouble. Thou shalt compass the word to surround you. Shall compass me with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I shall guide thee with mine eye. Don't louse it up. Verse 9, be not as the horse or as the mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest thou come near unto thee. I don't want to have to twist your arm. I don't want to have you go through stuff. And the more you learn that, the less you have to go through. Why? I got it. I don't need to have my arm twisted too much. Do. I get it. God, you're going to do it. That's right. I got it, God. You said it. I'm done. Thank you. Thank you. You got the idea. Moab. Perpetual enemy. And God, Moab says, I'll never, never bless Israel. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. We'll see it coming up. Anyway, trust you got a little bit. Thank you for that.